So we saw last week in Joshua 10:25, Joshua saying to his people, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, be strong and courageous. And the same principle that he's sharing with his troops, he heard from God, and I believe it's something that should be a principle that is available to us as we live our lives. So I just wondered this week, how did it go? How afraid were you? How discouraged were you? Did last week's message kick up and say, wow, I really shouldn't be afraid. Wow, I really shouldn't be discouraged? Because that's the whole point, you know, that ultimately whatever principle we find in the Word becomes part of our lives, that we live it out, that it's something not only that God would command us to do, but what he enables us for. Like as I said last week, there's no one in the world that wouldn't want to be not afraid or not discouraged. Like if you went to someone and said, how would you like to live a life where you're not afraid, you're not discouraged? They would say yes, but the problem is they don't want to incline themselves to the things of God. But when you are a believer in Jesus, when you're a believer in God, just realize that's available to you. But what's important to understand, and this is the main point I'm trying to make right now, is it's just not knowing information about God. It's not just knowing facts about God, but it's being infused with his knowledge. It's being infused with his relationship, with his person, having him inside you. So therefore, rather than that information coming from the outside in, it's coming from the inside out. You know, the whole idea the Old Testament speaks about what the new age will be, what the church age will be, is the law written on our hearts, not on tablets of stone. And so therefore, it's not we're not afraid and not discouraged because we're gritting our teeth and we're not being afraid, but we're just growing to know God in the context of that. So before we get to the positive in terms of be strong and courageous, I do have just a few other things to talk about in terms of the whole fair. Just leave that first slide up just in case people didn't read it. I mean, I really do believe this is so essential, and you know, it is what it takes to face the world. It is what it takes to live the Christian life. You can't be afraid, you don't be discouraged, and you want to be strong, you want to be courageous. It's an essential part of what God is enabling for us for and calls us to. But when we talk about this whole idea of fear, just doing a little bit more about that fear is always in reference or about losing something. And so we can bring that slide back up. Yeah, fear and discouragement usually involve the thought of losing something or someone. I mean, think about when you're afraid and what comes in the context of that as far as losing, like you're losing relationship, you're losing reputation, you're losing money, you're losing clients, you're losing a relationship, you're losing your safety, or you're losing your life. Fear is always in the context of losing something. And so therefore, in the context of that, a question I would have for you is, what is the greatest freedom to have? What is the greatest freedom to have? Now, freedom in America is a really important concept. We have freedom of speech and freedom of assembly and freedom of religion and all these freedoms. And yet, what is the greatest freedom to have? We brought this up a couple of Wednesdays ago at the Wednesday night Bible study where in the book of 1 Peter, Peter says, live as free men, live as free people. And we looked at this whole idea of what is the greatest freedom that we can have? And I would suggest to you the greatest freedom is the freedom from need. The freedom from need. In other words, when you think about needs, you know, I think normally we think about needs in the context of physical needs, like I need food, I need shelter, I need clothing, I need safety, protection, whatever it might be. But what I want you to think about is how nice it would be to be free of people's opinions, or things working out a certain way. You know, it's fine for us to think about pursuing things, accomplish things, striving for things, but to me, there's a big difference between wanting something and needing something. And I think if there's something God would want to free us from in terms of us really being directed to him and needing him and seeking him, so he is our fulfillment. He is the one that is satisfying all our needs. And then anything else I would have in my life would come from him, from his hand and from his provision. A few verses just to reinforce the principle that I'm talking about here, because it doesn't matter what I think about these things. It matters what God thinks about these things. Philippians 4:11-13 says this, I'm not saying this because I'm in need. Paul making it clear, I'm not in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And it's even interesting that Paul says that I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. That's how I've remembered that verse in terms of verse, I think, is 13. And to recognize Paul mentions that in the context of us processing need, processing the things that we would pursue in life. And you think about how many bad things come because we need something. Again, oftentimes that's where fear is. Fear is present in us feeling like we need something, and if we either we don't have it or we're trying to get it and we're afraid of losing it, whatever it might be. And so therefore, if we could be freed from that need, that would be a great thing. 1 Timothy 6, 8, and 9 says this, but if we have food and clothing, will we be content with that? Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. And I think that's it, right? Yeah, so basically, just think about the basic aspect of life. Again, food and clothing, shelter. You know, if you are in a place where those things are an issue, you know, I even wonder if we need to come to a place as a congregation where we take people that are amongst us. They belong to us. We're connected. They're seeking God's will. They're trying to make it work. But you know something? They just can't fulfill the most basic needs of life. You know, I think there's a point for us to say as a congregation, you know, when it comes to those needs, maybe we need to come alongside people and help them with that. You know, how can I have so much when someone that I know and love and I know is seeking God might have so little? You know, I think that might have been the point when the church got to in Acts 2 where people were selling all their property. I'm not going to ask you to do that, but whatever God would have you do, but they're selling all their property, so they're meeting the needs of the those in the congregation that have need. And so I think I do want to differentiate the need that is real. You know, in other words, what God has created us to do. He has created us to be finite. So we have a need for clothing. We have a need for food. We have a need for shelter. And so therefore, for us to provide that in terms of what would be God's will in the context of this congregation, I just want to bring you up in that context. But for those of us that don't have those needs, what we do is we project need in other contexts. We project need, again, on people have to be a certain way, circumstances have to be a certain way, that if this doesn't work out the way that I have imagined, if this person doesn't treat me in the way that I need, well, now all of a sudden I'm afraid, I'm discouraged. And so again, if we're going to address that fear and discouragement, we have to think about how we process those needs. But maybe the best verse is in this passage of Matthew, and it says, why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon, all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Amen, huh? They pursue those things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And see, that's the focus of our life. The focus of our lives is to seek the kingdom of God first. If there's anything we need God. We need Christ. We need his influence. We need his power. We need his knowledge. We need his guidance. That's what we need, and that's what we pursue. But in terms of just the things of our lives that we look to meet our expectations, satisfy our needs, satisfy our desires, gratify us in terms, like, we need to think about just how much we need those things, because this is the point I'm really trying to get to, and I'm trying not to say it because it's not on my slide yet, but go ahead, Kelly, now I can finally say it. At whatever point you need something, you are dependent on it, and therefore be afraid of losing it or discouraged that you don't have it. Let's read it again. Let that sink in. at whatever point you need something, you are dependent on it, and therefore be afraid of losing it or discouraged that you don't have it. And so therefore, again, think about your fear. Think about your discouragement. How much that is about losing something. How much that is that about you needing something that when you really look at God's economy, when you really look about the nature of life and how he supplies you individually, again, do you really need it? Because once you feel you need it, now all of a sudden, I got to have it. I'm afraid of losing it. You know, I'm discouraged if I don't have it. And so sometimes what's happening in our fear and discouragement is that we're really thinking we need something that God ultimately would provide for us. You know, I'm so glad that God led me to Psalm 112 this morning in terms of what it says about the nature of a person that is connected to God, that he is secure. He's not afraid of bad news. Even in the darkness, he's going to have light. We're steadfast in our hearts. Because everything you do need, God is supplying for you. Even when you look about that Matthew 6 passage, you could certainly take from that that even when it comes to your basic needs, even when it comes to food and clothing and shelter, God's going to meet that. I'm just saying that we might be part of that for people's lives. But then beyond that, to know everything else that we would think of that we need in terms of, I need affirmation. I need appreciation. I need people to like me. You know, I need this business contract to work out. I got to keep this client. No, you don't. You need God's will. You need God's person. And so, again, a lot of that fear, a lot of that discouragement is about how we're processing needs. And just know that God is willing to come alongside you and accurately define what needs are and what needs aren't, and then supply you with all the things you would need in context of his will, his person, his presence, his power in your life. And so that was just the last thing that I needed to do in terms of just dealing with the fear and discouragement that so oftentimes riddles our lives and controls us and determines what we're thinking, determines what we're doing. That again, I have this need, so therefore I'm afraid, or again, I have to pursue it in a way that God wouldn't want me. I can't leave the slide until I talk about that idol thing, because to the extent that you are dependent on something, it's very easy for that thing to become an idol. It's very easy for you then to become enslaved to that thing, because ultimately, when we come before the God of the universe and say that I need something that is not consistent with your provision in my life, then that thing is an idol. And what idols do is they create slavery. And so therefore you will constantly and relentlessly pursuing that thing to get it, and what you will have, either fear or discouragement or pride. Like you'll have pride that I got it, and now look how great I am, that I got this thing, that I've satisfied my needs, and I'm able to make it all work. But just understand the dynamics that are happening around human need and how oftentimes, you know, that is where sin, that's where temptation lies in terms of, you know, Satan drawing us to things, telling us we need it when we really don't. So again, coming under God's economy, coming under God's provision, and by virtue of that, not being afraid, not being discouraged. But we've heard the negative. Now it's time to hear the positive. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Isn't that something that we would just love to be? You know, when you think about your life, like when you think, like what you want to project, understand, tell other people, is it strong or courageous, or I'd be weak and afraid? You know, everyone wants this, right? You know, you're a football player. Should I mention football today? Is there an important thing going to happen? You're a football player. You're a baker. You're a homemaker. You're a whatever. Be strong and courageous. That's what we would all want to be. And see, the beauty of God is that everything he commands, he enables. Like God, oftentimes, I actually see even all the time, he's not coming to us with his commands saying, you better do this because this is what righteousness is. He's coming to you and saying, I'm making this available to you. I enable you to be this way. Because when you follow my way, you and everyone else will be benefited. So therefore, for God to come and say, be strong and courageous, we know that God is going to give us capacity to be that. But when we think about being strong, maybe the first thing we have to do in terms of being strong is think about where that strength flows. Like when we talk about being strong, it really means being strong physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. You know, maybe we might have a tendency when we think about be strong, we might classify that in a certain realm of these things and maybe not include all of them. Like certainly when Joshua was talking to these troops, be strong. We probably think he's thinking physical strength, right? You better build up those muscles so you can carry that sword and lift the shield and stood, you know, so be strong. Do your calisthenics, do your exercise, be physically strong. But when have you ever been physically strong and not need to be mentally strong? Not need to be emotionally strong? Not need to be spiritually strong? How many times have you been mentally, emotionally strong and you haven't been physically strong? You know, all of a sudden, I want to get this done, but I've got the flu. I want to get this done, but I'm getting old. That it's all like when we talk about being strong, we are interconnected in terms of all the aspects of our lives. And I think God cares about all of it. Like there's an aspect in terms of our bodies that we are stewards of our bodies. We know things that promote health and we know things that don't promote health. It's amazing to me in America how we know things don't promote health, but yeah, I'll do that anyways. Yeah, like maybe this much of cake is okay, but this much cake is just irresponsible. Like that's not, like I understand that when I eat this amount of cake, it's bad for me. Well, that is God saying, you're a steward. And so therefore, God wants us to be strong physically. Your body can take you out of things. Like God wants you to do something. Oh, I just don't feel, I don't have the strength. I don't have the energy. Yeah, mentally. Oh, I just can't handle, like, all these thoughts come on. I can't handle my thoughts. And, you know, these people rub me the wrong way, and they get me so frustrated. They get me so, really? Be strong. Manage that in God's economy. Do what's necessary to make sure that negative thinking doesn't corrupt what God would otherwise want you to do. Emotionally, you know, I'm so hurt. I'm so sad. I'm so, yeah, well, let God meet you there. Let God heal you. Let God supply in the context of that. See, because we know when there's trouble in any of those areas, guess what? You will not be strong. And so be strong does involve those areas. But when you think about what it really is talking about, even the balance between being strong and being courageous, I think being strong means be able, be capable, overcome barriers, provide the energy to accomplish the task. Again, but that's mental energy, that's emotional energy, that's spiritual energy, that's physical energy. That again, we are developing the capacity to do the things that God would have us to do. And to know that God is by our side helping us do that. See, it's great to think about being strong as a believer when God promises his power to help us live our lives, to help us live in his kingdom, to live under his will and what he would seek for us to accomplish. You know, I do think that, a thought that comes in the context of this, we really don't want to be strong for things that are wrong, right? Or we can't expect God to say, be strong and courageous in things that are evil. You know, be strong and courageous and rob that bank. That's not, but when we are seeking God's will, when we're doing the things God would want me to do, well, all of a sudden, God, you know, God, you want me to be strong. Help me to be able. Help me to be capable. You know, when I think about overcoming barriers in terms of the strength we need, that whenever we're seeking to go forward in the things of God, we just have to understand there's always going to be opposition. There's always going to be something that comes alongside us, or coming at us, rather. And to recognize we have to have that strength to overcome that. Like, we can't expect that, okay, I'm going to do these things. I'm going to take this initiative. I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to respect my husband. I'm going to raise my children. Don't expect everyone to say, oh, I'm so glad that you're willing to do that. And just be, expect your children. Kind of, like I sometimes say, it's killed children's job to think about how they can get away with things. So don't expect it all. But that's why you need to be strong, because you have to face the opposition. And that's where the strength comes up. See, when we're met with opposition, then basically we have one of two choices: be strong and courageous, or be afraid and be discouraged. And so what God is saying, choose that path of strength. Choose that path of courage. And just realize that it's going to take strength. It's going to take energy. You're going to have to bring it together in terms of all that God enables you to do. And when we think about the tasks, when we think about the tasks that are before, or again, coming up with the energy, that naturally the greatest tasks for us to pursue are the tasks that God desires, the tasks that God wills. But when you think about, again, I talked about last week, the regularity of life, like we can't think about the path that God desires is about, we'll go to the mission field, or go do this ministry, teach Sunday school, serve in Awana. It might be that for some of you, but it's also be a good mom, be a good husband, be a good kid, witness for Christ in school, be an ambassador for Christ in the context you're in. Again, be strong. Whatever opposition comes against you, whether that opposition is physical, it is mental, it is emotional, it is spiritual, build yourself up. See, God gives you the capacity to be built up so you can be strong. And then the last phrase here, life can be tough, but you can be too. You know, God never promised us a rose garden. God never promises health and wealth and goodness, and you know, there's going to be blessings. There's certainly going to be things that come from God's hand in terms of just blowing our socks off in terms of how good God can be. But the other side of that is sometimes because of even our righteousness, God will create things to build our faith. But just in terms of God stripping us of ourselves, stripping us of our dependence on the world, stripping us of our dependence on flesh, God will bring some stuff along that does challenge us. And so therefore, we have to realize that life can be tough. Like, God, that's part of God's will too, the tough things that happen in life. But you can be too, in terms of just the choice you make in faith, the choice you make in seeking God and His knowledge and His power. And you know something, I just have to say, before I continue, you know, when I brought up Karen last week in terms of an example in my life of what was greatest in terms of encouraging, causing me to be afraid or discouraged, realize Karen was diagnosed with leukemia like 5 years ago. So that was a past thing. I know I sometimes share things like everyone knows what I'm talking about, but Karen was not diagnosed with leukemia recently. It was a long time ago. It's very much in our rearview mirror. She is still healthy, and so I'm glad that God made that provision for us. But that was the best example for me of being hit with something that I didn't expect, and now, God, what are you going to do in the midst of this? And it was really amazing in the context of that, how I went from fear to that peace. That is, say, okay, God, what are you going to do? How are you going to provide? How are you going to work on Karen's behalf? How are you going to work on my behalf, the family's behalf? We had 8 people in our house at that point. some crazy number. So when I talked about, like, I was kind of concerned about who's going to cook dinner, you know, that was a real problem for me, because I don't do that very often or very well. But we came together, and it was you know, ultimately what God can accomplish in that was awesome, actually. But be strong, and now be courageous. So I just want to clarify that. But be courageous. You know, if strength is about ability, being courageous is about willingness. Like, you can have a lot of power to do something, But if you're not willing to do it, doesn't matter. You know, you think, like, I do think of courage, probably the biggest expression of courage in our lives is the courage to share the gospel. Is the courage to have that conversation, to ask that question, to look for the open door, to say, you know, let me have this conversation with this person about the glory of Christ, the need of the cross, the goodness of God. And so, so you can be prayed up, you can be, you know, powered up, you can be strong mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually for that. And yet when the time comes and it just doesn't matter. I have been there. Praying for the opportunity, doing the thing, and then I'm with the person, and the fear comes in, the discouragement comes, oh, the fear comes, oh my gosh, what's this person going to think of me? You know, what's going to happen if this, you know, if he laughs at me or does? I think one of the greatest expressions of courage in our lives is a willingness to share the truth of Jesus with people. Now, it's also courageous to be a parent. It's courageous to set limits on your kids. It's courageous to have your kids say, well, I hate you. And say, well, that doesn't change me. You know what? Something that I would always tell my kids, like, if you think that that's going to work, it's not. Like the temper tantrum, just realize this is going to get worse, not better. Like, if at any point I say that this is okay and give you what you need in response to that negative behavior, I'm just reinforcing it. I'm giving you permission to do it. But that is courageous. That's courageous when you're in a store and that's happening. That's even more courageous today when you're in a store and everyone has iPhones and, ooh, let's take the picture of and that's a Christian. Be courageous. Do what is necessary. Do what God would desire for you to do. You know, I think, you know, there's a, you know, we don't want to go into parenting necessarily, but it takes courage to do that. Like you have to be willing to withstand the onslaught of negativity and the things that come up in you in terms of, but I want to be a good mother and I want to be a good father. I want my child. Don't care if your children like you. It does not matter. What matters is, are you promoting godliness in their life? Are you representing godliness? Are you setting a standard that you are then asking them to cooperate with you that would lead them in the right direction in their life? And for a kid, for a teenager, they will not like you. Because who would? When they have their ideas and their direction and what they want to accomplish, and you're coming in saying no, don't be surprised. But it's courage. That you need to be willing. You have to. It's strong. I need to have the strength. Like, I'm still okay. I'm still affirmed. God still loves me. God still wants me to do this. But then I have to be willing to do it. Is there a reason why you didn't bring up willing? Oh, there you go. So be willing. Yeah, like again, strengthen me. If I like to, whenever the Bible says two things right together, I look for the difference between them. And so again, if strength is about ability, courage is about willingness. Are you willing to do this? You know, kids certainly, they present a lot of challenges. I have not done that right my whole life. Please, I have my kid. No, we won't do that. We won't have a testimony session of my kids coming up and saying all the wrong things I did as a father. Would you like that? Would that be a good thing? That might be a good example. Like realize I might be talking about this stuff, but I didn't always, like when you're in the midst of the emotions, when you're in the midst of the defensiveness, when you're in the midst of the hurt, how dare you say that to me? But be courageous, like find that place of God's will, God, you know, the standards and the grace and the character, the love that would come out. You know, it's so important to overcome that fear. And if you're going to be courageous, you've got to overcome that fear and hesitancy. You know, so sometimes this is about ministry. Like sometimes this is for you, you should teach Sunday school. Like you should participate in Awana. You should, like, okay, we might have a group of people that coordinate the summer celebration if we do that on the town beach. Maybe you're exactly the person to do that. Oh, you know, I'm not sure. You know, people might think I'm stupid or I don't have the right ideas or I can't. Stop. Stop. Like, in other words, if it's something God wants you to do, you go. When you overcome that fear and the hesitancy, another part of being courageous by definition is you have to take risks. Like, by definition, if you're going someplace that God wants you to be, you need to be willing to do that. There's going to be opposition in terms of your willingness. There's opposition in terms of the strength, and there's opposition in terms of the willingness. And so you have to take, it's like, if fear is about losing something, and God wants you to lose something, you have to take risks that you'll lose it. Like, you think about, boy, I don't want to lose this friend, but I do want to share the gospel. You have to take risk that, you know, something that might happen. You might lose that friend. You might lose that relationship. There may be discomfort in your family. You know, you find winsome ways. You find creative ways to engage and ask questions. And again, it's not like, by the way, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about the Bible. Let's start in Genesis and go all, you know, it doesn't need to be that. But finding a way where you're meeting that person where they are to explain the nature of Christ, the need of the cross, that the power of forgiveness, the power of God's love and intervention in their life. But again, if you're going to be courageous, I just guarantee that there's going to be risk in terms of what is on the other side of God's will. Choose the higher priority of what should be done as opposed to what is easy or comfortable. Let's say that again and let that sink. Choose the higher priority of what should be done as opposed to what is easy or comfortable. I think that the biggest thing that prevents us from doing the thing, the courageous thing that God wants, is we just default. This is easy and comfortable. That I know what this, I know what passivity looks like, and it's kind of comfortable. Yeah, I know things are a mess. I know the relationship's broken, but you know, so I'm still good here. Like, we're okay in our family, and there's brokenness all over the place outside of it, but we're good here. Is it? No, that's not. We are agents of reconciliation. If there's a broken relationship in your life, then you should be seeking reconciliation of that. It says if there's an unbeliever in your sphere of influence, and I hope you have unbelievers in your sphere of influence, you should be praying, you should be engaging, you should be purposeful of, okay, I am supposed to shine the light of Jesus here. How do I do that? When do I do that? But again, that would be my intention. And again, setting aside all that hesitancy and that fear and take a risk, but the higher priority of what should be done as opposed to what is easy or comfortable. And when you think about God's economy, you think about all that he would desire of this. The last picture says it all. You got this. And isn't he so cute? The little puppy. Sorry. But you got this. Like, everything that God would want you to be, everything that God would want you to accomplish, God has a way. Like, the point is, he just wants you to join him. He just wants you to come alongside him and say, okay, God, I'm on your page. I'm seeking your will. I'm seeking your knowledge. I'm seeking your ways. And you know, and that is about, you know, I feel like a broken record. It's worship. It's the word. It's the Holy Spirit. It's prayer. It's a fellowship of believers. If you're not doing those things, then you're not accessing God in the way that he's making himself available. And so therefore, if you're not strong and courageous, and you're not in worship, you're not in the Word, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not in prayer, you're not with the fellowship of believers, well, therefore, you're trying to do it on your own. And I do believe there's an element of each of those dynamics that are essential in terms of what God calls us to. And again, it's not only what God calls us to, but what he welcomes us to. This is not about God making us people that we wouldn't want to be. I promise this. You will be benefited, and the people around you will be benefited when you are strong and courageous and not afraid and discouraged in terms of pursuing God's will for your life and becoming the person God wants you to be. You're grasping hold of the things of God so you can become the person God want you to be. And you know something? I want to help. You know, one thing that I have historically struggled with as a pastor is, who do I help? You know, I become aware of situations and, okay, let me make a call and initiate this and engage with that person. And, you know, so I do my best to go where the need is in terms of where's the person that needs encouragement? Where's the person that needs correction? Where's the person that needs my presence or whatever? Like let me make myself available in that. But what I realize is I may not know who needs to be strengthened. I may not know who needs to be helped in being courageous. And so, therefore, something that I'm doing fairly, I guess it is the first time, is, that picture? No. Like, what I find is that Sunday after church is probably the best time for the most people, and it's also the best time for me. And so, therefore, what I'm going to do, again, this ends up being nothing, that's fine. Like, no, Pastor, we don't need to talk to you. we're good. But I kind of want to do this in a structured and intentional way to give you the ability to meet with me, just in case I'm missing something. Just in case I could help in a situation. Boy, I would never think that was there or thought you might have that need. You know, I do believe what certainly can happen is that there are some people that would want to meet with me and they don't know how to ask. Or they, you know, or he's too busy. You know what I tell people is I'm supposed to be busy. Like, it's not a bad thing for me to be busy. And so therefore, this is just a way for, you know, you want to sit down, you want to talk about anything. Even if it is, you want to get to know me better. I always want to get to know you better. Like, I have always thought, I would like to sit down with every person in the congregation at least once a year in some context. That would be a good thing. And this is something that we're making available to you. Again, as you leave the sanctuary on the right-hand side, the sign-up table. You know, we're going to do it 12 to 12:45, 1 to 1:45, and then 2 to 2:45 or something. There's some, you know, we'll start with just kind of getting down for 45 minutes an hour, or an hour, and then if it needs to be more, we can make that happen. But again, I wanna you can decide what you want to do with this. And again, I'll meet with people or I won't meet with people. I'm not gonna force myself to be inserted in your life. And I would also say, don't let the public nature of this cause you to start thinking that, just assume that everyone just wants to have coffee with me. You know, just assume everyone wants to take me to lunch. Why did you sign up for that stuff? Oh, I just wanted to. That's all. So, okay. So I have felt God pushing me in that direction. So you can decide whether that scratches the itch. But this is our week of communion. So let's. But all of this is part of you got this. That when you talk about God's will and what God would desire for you to be and what he would seek for you to accomplish, you got this. God is going to give you provision to not be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Be strong and be courageous. And if there's anyone that was strong and courageous, if there's anyone that was not afraid and was not discouraged, it is our Lord Jesus. And what he faced under God's provision and God's leading. And so let's pray. Let's bow and let's pray. Father, we are grateful that we have such a great model in terms of that strength and that courage and what he had to set aside because of his knowledge of you. I think in many ways we are given that picture so that we can face the things in our lives where maybe we feel like we're being crucified. Maybe we feel like we're undergoing things that are just too hard. I just pray that you would build all of us up in the capacity to follow your will, to be the people you desire for us to be, to apply the principles that we find in your word to the very circumstances and relationships that we find ourselves in. Father, I think it is a glorious thing for a human being to become the person God wants us to be, and how we are benefited and how the world is benefited by that. I just pray that more and more the mark of us as the people of living hope is that we would be that. And then we might have people asking us, what is the reason for your hope? What is the reason for your love? How can you be so understanding and forgiving? And we can point to you, because it is all about you, the beginning, the middle, and the end. And so, Father, we just lift all this before you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.